Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7, and it is good to be with you this morning. I hope that you've had a great week. I've had a busy week, but a very good week. Today I'm going to look at two saints. I thought I'd digress a bit and look at the saints. One you probably know quite well, and the other one maybe you don't. I certainly didn't know that much about him. But I think that when we look at their lives, it's a powerful testimony to the love of God and the power of God. And looking at testimony of people's lives encourages us, and I think it's always a good place to start. Were these saints perfect? Probably not. In fact, I'm going to say none of us are perfect. The only perfect person was Jesus. And so when we look at the lives of the saints, we need to remember that they also did things that maybe weren't 100% right, but they focused their lives on God. They were rooted in God. They spent time in prayer, worshiping God, and they certainly did it from the place of zealous service for God. So when we look at these saints, they were also prepared to go at the extreme for God, and they teach us a lot, I believe, about life and a life lived for God and with God. What they show for me is a life of virtue. They exemplify extraordinary virtue, serving as role models and testimonies. And through their lives, you can learn things that perhaps you need to change or grow in areas where you need to grow in your own life. Many people believe that they intercede for us as well. I'm actually one of those. Even in the Anglican Church, we talk about the cloud of witnesses, and we do believe that they can intercede for us once they've gone from this life to the next. I don't pray to saints, but I do believe that they could intercede for me. They inspire us through their lives to deepen our relationship with God and to live in God's abiding love, which is always an important thing for us to remember, that we are living here on earth in God's abiding love. And through the testimony of their lives, we see the courage and sacrifice of the early followers of the way. And I think if we think we've got it hard, they had it really hard. And I think it results in you and I knowing the good news and experiencing God's love. Well, I don't think that. I know that. That because they were prepared to sacrifice their whole lives to share the good news, that is the reason you and I today know about the good news of Jesus Christ, and we must never forget that. For me, and perhaps the most important one, is that what we see in both the saints is that they foster a sense of community among believers, connecting them through shared belief, but perhaps most importantly, through love. I'm sure we've all heard that hymn, and they will know we are Christians through our love. It's important that we are connected through love and that we become a community through love. Many people say they can be Christians alone, and I don't dispute that. I'm not going to argue with people. If we look at the Desert Fathers, some of them lived in solitude, sort of. People still went to them. But for me, there is so much strength when believers gather together and worship together and share together and actually even pray together. That is the most amazing way in which we see God move. And it's an exponential increase in the power of prayer when we do it as community. God really moves then. Our collect for today sums up some of what I'm saying and some of what I will be saying as we look at the saints. And it starts like this: God of all ages. And I think we need to not forget, God was here before the earth was formed and will be here long after you and I cease to exist, perhaps even long after the humans cease to exist. And God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God created this universe, continues to create. So God really is the God of all ages, and that gives us comfort when we go through bumps along the way. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and God is still God. The second sentence of the collect is, you never cease to call us into covenant with you. And of course we know that God is always seeking us, always looking out for us, looking to welcome us back. And the third is, grant us grace and make us faithful to proclaim the wonders of your salvation. Grant us grace. I think if I were to say the one thing that's lacking today in many interactions that I witness, in many situations that I witness, is grace. Even in the traffic, grace is lacking. And it is so important. We need to live in grace and extend that grace to others. And then, of course, through the testimony of our lives, and that's why I'm stressing I'm looking at the saints today, and it's the testimony of their lives we're looking at, through the testimony of our own lives, we can proclaim the wonders of God's salvation. Coming up now on the Mighty Heart 107, all over the world, the Spirit is moving. As we listen, let's just think about where we need to extend grace in our own lives and what testimony we're leaving. After this, I'm going to be looking at Bernard of Clairvaux.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.
All over the world, the spirit is moving on the mighty Hot 1027. If you've just tuned in, it's great to be with you. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. And I'm looking at the saints today, just two of them, St. Bernard and St. Bartholomew. And the reason I thought we'd stop and look at the saints, well, it's a time of year where we celebrate their lives and remember them. But I thought we'd actually look at their lives because there's nothing for me more powerful than the testimony of our lives. When people look at us and see God at work in our lives and see the work we do through the power of God. And that's what we see in the saints. So Bernard was born in 1090. He was venerated as Saint Bernard soon after his death, actually. He was an abbot, a mystic, a co-founder of the Knights Templar, and a major leader in the reform of the Benedictines through the Cistercian order. Bernard was sent and he went off and founded an abbey a few years after becoming a monk. And in the year 1128, he attended the Council of Troyes, in which he traced the outlines of the rule of the Knights Templar, which soon became an ideal of Christian nobility. He was a very eloquent abbot. He advocated the Crusades in general and convinced many to participate in the unsuccessful Second Crusade. And I think if I were to say one thing against him, and this is just my personal view, I'm not a great advocate of the Crusades. I know that it spread Christianity, but it's just a feeling I have that perhaps God doesn't want us to go out and force people to become Christians, but rather to encourage them through grace to become Christians. He was canonized 21 years after his death by Pope Alexander III, and in 1830, Pope Pius declared him the Doctor of the Church. Bernard's parents were both members of the highest nobility of Burgundy, so he didn't have to go out and become a monk. He was the third of seven children, six were sons, and at age nine he was sent off to school that was run by a secular canon. He had an interest in literature and rhetoric. So he was given a secular education. He was a very educated man. And in 2013, he went and entered the Benedictine Abbey. His family, not surprisingly, actually, were not pleased with his choice of monastic life. And he even convinced four of his brothers to join and about 26 of his friends. And he established a monastery in France. He clearly had the power of persuasion. His preaching, his letters were so persuasive that around 60 new abbeys were formed through them. And his writings have made him one of the most influential figures in Christendom. He was a fiery defender of the church, so you can understand why he advocated for the Crusades. And he was known for his passage and message about the abundant love of God. But I'm not here to criticize him in any way. I do want to stress that. What was unusual about him was that while he was passionate about studying, he also did things. So he might have been a mystic, but he was also hugely active in everything, making sure that God's message got out there. One person suggested that the reading from Ecclesiastes describes him perfectly. That reading that says he seeks out the wisdom of all the ancients, he seeks out the hidden meanings of Proverbs, he sets his heart to rise early to seek the Lord who made him. And that probably does epitomize who he was when you go and study who he was. He was also known for extreme fasting and to forgo sleep and even his health because of his work in the church. And it was to the detriment of his health that he did that. When we look at him, what I see is that he was alive and zealous for God, alive in the love of God, and wanted all the experience and to live in that love. He just wanted more and more, and he wanted more and more people to know that love of God. And when we look at saints that are also human, one of Bernard's brothers became ill on a mission with him. Bernard prayed to God and said, "Let my brother live until we get home, and then you can take him." His prayer actually was, "Wait, O Lord, till we return home. Let me give him back to his friends. Then take him if you wish. I shall not complain." God honored that prayer. They got home and his brother died. And then Bernard deeply regretted that prayer. This is to show his humanity. And he prayed that he would. He also then went on to God and said, "God, now my brother's gone. I need to be stoic at my brother's funeral and not shed a tear." And later he actually wrote to his fellow monks a sermon, which is known as Sermon 26, where he reveals a sorrow that is overwhelming. He speaks of his late brother, Gerard, who was also a Cistercian monk. In his sermon, he explains how he kept dry eyes while others wept because he had promised that to God. However, he deeply regretted the death of his brother. He admits that by suppressing the grief that he was feeling, the sorrow struck deeper and deeper roots within, growing all the more bitter because it found no outlet. Those are his own words. And I think maybe we can take a lesson from that too. When we are in deep grief, let's not try and deny it. Grief is one of our normal, natural human emotions, and we need to allow that grief and then journey with that grief. And then, as I've said before, and I'm not sure if I've said it here, but what I've always said is that you need to find a new normal. Things don't go back to the way they were, but you don't go through the grief and come out the other side. You go into the grief, and then you heal in that grief, and you learn to live with a new normal. So I think with him, because he suppressed it, it actually did him damage. And one day his sorrow overflowed, and that's when he wrote the sermon. Sorrow is universal. Bernard had lost a blood brother and a monk, his companion and friend. His heart broke not only for his own loss, but also because of his own fall, as he put it. He asked God for a specific favor, and then it was granted. So he'd asked God for the favor, so this is why he thinks he fell. He asked God for a favor. The favor was granted. His brother lived till he got home, then God took him. And then Bernard was absolutely horrified that his brother had died. So he wasn't happy with God granting him what he had asked for. And in a moment of raw emotion, he used his pain, that wound of love, to preach and tell of God's mercy. And he used, of course, something that we are all familiar with, I think. Jesus weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. These tears were witness to his human kindness. They certainly didn't show that he didn't trust God. And he goes on and says, in the same way, our weeping is not a sign of lack of faith. It indicates a human condition. He praises God for having entrusted Gerard to them and says that Gerard's death was only God taking what was his from the beginning. And I've heard that often. You know, I mean, God creates us, God gives us life. And when God chooses to take that life, who are we to say God can't do that? So it's a difficult teaching. It's really hard teaching when we're in deep grief to hear that. But he comes to that place. And he says, you know, God answered my prayer. I wasn't happy that God answered my prayer and my brother died. But actually, I had to entrust my brother back to God. What do we see in his life is that he was absolutely passionate about helping people to encounter God, about telling people about the love of God, about telling them the good news of Jesus Christ, and that he lived his life to the full doing exactly that. And so through the witness of his life, even with some of the things that he did that perhaps we don't always agree with, he actually showed us that we need to be rooted in God, living in God, and also contemplating and thinking about our own reactions sometimes when God does answer our prayers, or perhaps God doesn't answer our prayers. How do we react? And are we filled with grace and with God's love? As we think about him, coming up next on the Mighty Heart 1027, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 1027.
Jesus, lover of my soul, on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning. If you've just joined me, you're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and it's good to be with you. We've looked at St. Bernard, and now going to look at St. Bartholomew, also known as the evangelist missionary. Bartholomew is commonly identified with Nathanael, whom Jesus greeted with the words, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." Philip introduced him to Jesus. He was one of the first among the 12 disciples, actually, to recognize that Jesus was God. He said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." We find that in John's Gospel, chapter 1. He was from Cana of Galilee and among the apostles in the boat when Jesus appeared on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias after his resurrection. I've gone through that quite recently when we went through Easter and the resurrection of Jesus. We've looked at the disciples fishing all night, catching nothing, and then this unknown man on the shore says, "Cast your nets out." They obey him. They catch hundreds of fish. So many fish, in fact, that the net's in danger of breaking, and they realize it's Jesus, and he calls them to come ashore. So he's one of them who's on that boat at the time. If we look at the legend, it says that the apostle Bartholomew preached in Mesopotamia, Persia, India, Egypt, Greater Armenia, and then he was martyred. And according to some, it's quite horrific. He was flayed alive and crucified upside down by a king who was furious with him for converting his brother. His relics are still preserved today in the Church of St. Bartholomew on Tiber Island. St. Bartholomew dedicated his life to spreading the teachings of Jesus Christ. He journeyed far and wide, as I've just shared with you, bringing the light of the gospel to many lands that hadn't ever heard the good news. And he didn't worry about his own safety. He just went ahead and did it. His missionary work paved the way for the establishment of early Christian communities, nurturing faith and hope among the countless souls. He was really good at building community. Remember right in the beginning, I said one of the things that I love about the saints is that they build communities founded in grace and love. He built communities all over, establishing small congregations, and he left a legacy of unity and spiritual guidance. Bartholomew fully embraced the call of Jesus. He spread the good news all over, and he did it with great humility. He embraced this life of humility, compassionate service, being there for others. He cared for the needy, the poor. He embodied the love of Jesus, being the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus, not just through his words, but through his actions as well. His commitment to charity continues to inspire believers towards acts of kindness. He reached out to those in distress. He offered spiritual and material support to those in distress. And for me, his life reminds us that true greatness lies in serving others. His example encourages many to live generously and to continue to give and to just continue to work in the kingdom of God. And when we look at what is around us, there is so much work. No one can tell me there's nothing we need to do. There is so much work that needs to be done. His journey was full of moments that showed us his deep faith and trust in God. And he worked quietly with great zeal. What began for him as this profound encounter, personal encounter with Jesus, and that so often happens to us. We have this one amazing encounter. If we looked at Paul, who was Saul, he had that encounter on the road to Damascus. Many of us have had those encounters in our lives. This one encounter that changes us forever. And he had that one encounter. And then what we see as he watched the miracles and teachings of Jesus, he became moved and filled with the divine love and the Spirit of God. And it set him on this path of faithfulness. And throughout his ministry, he was known for a series of miraculous healings himself and kind acts of charity. He worked with the sick, comforted the sorrowful, those in grief. He nurtured the spiritual growth of many. He became a living testimony to the power of prayer. I found some words that he preached, and I just want to share those before I end today, because in each one, there's like a nugget that we can learn something from. So when he was speaking to a gathering of humble believers on a cool autumn evening, we find it in the wisdom of faith. He said, "Let the light of Christ shine through your deeds, for even a small act of kindness can kindle the soul's eternal flame." Isn't that beautiful? Even a small act of kindness can kindle the soul's eternal flame. So let's do small acts of kindness. Let's make a difference. The next one, where he was sharing the truth during a midnight prayer vigil in a silent chapel, he said, "In the quiet moments of prayer, find solace and strength, for God's love speaks softly to the hearts willing to listen." Doesn't that remind you of how God passed the cave with silence, not in the thunder, not in the lightning, but in silence? We definitely need to be silent sometimes to hear God. He also said, and he was speaking to his disciples, urging them to trust in God's plan through life's challenges. He said, "Embrace each trial as a stepping stone towards holiness. Every hardship is a chance to grow closer to the embrace of our Savior." So if we're going through hardships, let's remember that. Embrace each trial as a stepping stone. So see it not as an end, but just as a stepping stone to something bigger. And the last one I want to share, proclaimed during open air service, and it was a sermon in a bustling market. He said, "Honor the poor and downtrodden, for in their eyes you may see the very face of Christ calling you to live in compassion and charity." It's time now for me to wrap up this morning. I don't have time to give you more, but you could go and research it yourself. St. Bartholomew, some of his teachings. He taught far and wide, and he has very deep, profound things that he said. I hope you've enjoyed your time with me. I loved being with you this morning as we explored the lives of these two saints and looked at what we can learn from the testimony of their lives. I hope you have a blessed week. Thanks so much for listening. May God draw you ever closer and deeper in his love. Coming up now on the Mighty Heart 1027, "There is none like you, and there really is none like Jesus. And I love you, Lord." And like those saints, we call to love God with all our hearts. Enjoy.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 1027.